from KQED. From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Tanya Mosley. As the world mourns singer Aretha Franklin, who died Thursday, many of us find ourselves surprised or taken aback by the depth of our emotions. Today on Forum, we discuss why celebrity deaths can hit us so hard and whose loss has impacted you the most. Then at 9:30, we'll talk about the major motion picture Crazy Rich Asians. The romantic comedy, based on Kevin Kwan's novel of the same name, is being heralded as a milestone in Asian American cinema and a crucial moment in bringing diverse voices to Hollywood. Will this be the film that finally opens the door to more realistic and nuanced representations of Asian Americans on the big screen? That's all coming up after the news. Welcome to Forum. I'm Tanya Mosley, in for Mina Kim. A lot of you out there could tell us where you were and how you felt when you heard, say, Princess Diana, Robin Williams, Michael Jackson, John Lennon, Kurt Cobain, or Prince died. Whether it's an actor, musician, athlete, or writer, the death of a public figure can spark intense emotions, sometimes signaling for you a special moment in time in your life, like childhood. And for me personally, Aretha Franklin, whose work spanned several decades, this is especially true. So today we're asking, what's the right way to mourn a celebrity? Is there a right way? And what do the deaths of some of our most beloved artists say about ourselves? We're joined this half hour with Dr. Jacqueline Fulton, a professor of sociology at National University in La Jolla, California. She's been studying celebrity deaths and public interest for years. Welcome, Dr. Fulton.
Good morning.
And we want to hear from you, too. What loss has impacted you the most and how? Do you have a question or comment about grieving and death of a celebrity for Dr. Fulton? Give us a call at 866-733-6786. That's 866-733-6786. You can also get in touch with us on Twitter and Facebook. We're at KQED Forum, or email your questions to forum at kqed.org or post them at kqed.org/forum. Well, Professor Fulton, I'd love to talk with you a bit about your work and the mourning of celebrities. You call celebrities intimate strangers for us, and that the grief we experience is disenfranchised grief. Talk to us a little bit about what you mean about that.
Celebrities who die are often deeply connected to our emotional lives and our personal biographies. They've been there in key points in our lives, and music celebrities in particular resonate with us because music and emotion are deeply connected, and music evokes emotion.
Mm-hmm. Yes, we see that a lot of the folks that I talked about early on are musicians because we tap specifically into that musicality, that moment in time in our lives, maybe when we first heard a song or what it means to us in the scope of our relationships with other people.
Absolutely. They, in some sense, are the soundtrack of our lives. Their songs and voices and their phrasing of their songs become meaningful symbols of our joy, our sadness, of falling in love, of being betrayed, of our heartache, of our coming of age. And they're also very connected to our sexual and romantic awakenings. And this is why we have such deep nostalgia for the songs of our youth. Mm. And why, if you watch television, on PBS included, that Lawrence Welk still speaks to people in their 80s.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You say this is the developing self that you're talking about.
It's very connected to the developing self, but also the self is developing over our lifetime. So there may be a new song that hits us later in life, too. But particularly when we're teenagers and young people falling in love and searching for identity, the songs help define who we are, and we feel deeply connected to certain music icons, whether it's Amy Winehouse or Kurt Cobain, David Bowie. And new fans come to the fore after a celebrity dies, like Aretha Franklin. Mm-hmm. I would be predicting that her songs will be number one very soon, if they're not already.
Right, right.
Because all of a sudden people are like interested through social media chatter. People become acquainted. There's a whole new group of fans out there for someone like Aretha Franklin or David Bowie or Prince. A new generation becomes acquainted with their work.
You know, I'm thinking about my own life, and you mentioned Prince. I think one of my first memories in life was sitting in the car with my mom and Little Red Corvette coming on the radio. And then with Aretha Franklin, hearing the stories of my aunts and my mom and their childhood and listening to Aretha Franklin. So it's spanning several generations. But I want to ask you, is this grieving and this mourning that we feel, some of us deeper than others, really appropriate?
I think it is appropriate. It's appropriate for true fans or people who feel deeply connected to a certain song, or Aretha Franklin, for example, as a political figure, not just a pop figure, mm-hmm. an artist. But there's also, I have to be frank, there is a kind of social media chatter that creates the event of a celebrity dying as a trending event and mm-hmm. as a kind of curiosity. So for some people, it's just a momentary amusement, something to be caught up in that's everyone's talking about and it passes. And other people, it's a lasting grief. And the reason that we would call it, or the reason I apply this particular phenomenon to disenfranchised grief is because people often belittle that grief. Mm-hmm. And they'll say, well, why are you so upset? Why would you go to a vigil for Prince dying or Aretha Franklin? I mean, why? You didn't know her. Well, in some sense, you do know them in terms of the emotion that they evoke and how connected they are. And Aretha Franklin was 76 years old. And when you said that she spoke to many generations, that's absolutely accurate. Mm-hmm. She was not a flash in the pan. She wasn't some packaged, sexy pop singer who died tragically of like a drug overdose or whatever, who may have been very talented or not so talented. I mean, this woman was an artist who had a 60-year career, spoke to many generations. She spoke to my mother. She spoke to my nephews and nieces. She spoke to me. She speaks to my students. Her songs about heartache and loss often became battle cries politically that were used. I mean, she's had a lot of resonance. And her authenticity is something that will be missed.
You mentioned social media and the power of social media. Is it also, I want to talk a little bit about Aretha Franklin's death in that context, because we started to hear that she was gravely ill on Monday or Tuesday. And I got on Twitter and Instagram and was just flooded with her music and outpours of love and grief from people. And in many ways, that can be overwhelming. It's no longer that we just hear a quick brief that someone has died on the radio. We are actually living it through social.
Absolutely. Some of it becomes macabre and what I call kind of a celebrity death watch. There's even ghoul polls every year, like what celebrity is going to die this next year. Very macabre. Aretha Franklin had neuroendocrine pancreatic cancer for probably 10 years, and it's very slow growing, and it was there. So when I heard that she died, I figured it was probably that, and that's what was released.
Yeah.
And so the social media, you know, spreads news of an imminent death or conspiracies about a death or the actual death like wildfire. And people are on different platforms, and it's like, you know, at the speed of light, it's moving. And people get caught up in a kind of social contagion aspect. And as I said, some people have real grief that we should not invalidate. But others, it really is just a trending kind of amusement, and it's a little unsavory.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Let's take some calls. We have lots of folks who want to talk about the celebrities that have impacted them. We have with us Ellie from Los Gatos. Hi, Ellie.
Hi. I have two, if I may. the first one as an 11-year-old. FDR died on my birthday, and we were very big supporters of him. And when I came home from school that day, my mother was sitting on the piano bench in the dining room, crying her eyes out because he had died, and I felt very sad about that. But what really, really affected me was the death of John Kennedy. Mm-hmm. When John Kennedy died, President Kennedy, Jack Kennedy, that was really terrible. And it was a weekend. It was a Friday, Saturday, and Sunday that everything stopped in the whole world for that weekend. And that never stopped. I never stopped thinking about that.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you. Dr. Fulton, she brings up Kennedy. I think that all of us, even those who weren't born during that time, we carry on that grief by hearing the stories from our parents.
Absolutely. And JFK is an interesting figure because he was a glamorous politician and spoke a message of hope. And very connected to our emotions again, kind of like music, I would say. I mean, he was progressive and spoke of hope, and his reputation and legacy may even exceed what he actually accomplished. But there's a deep emotional resonance with him, and he is a cultural icon. He's up there.
Yep. Let's take some more calls.
There's not many like that.
That's right. Let's take Michael in Napa. Michael.
Oh, I think you've got the wrong guy. I'm Winston.
I am so sorry, Winston. I apologize for that. Winston from Oakland. Yes.
No problem. The one that hit me really hard was Dolores O'Riordan of the Cranberries. Mm. She's the singer of the Cranberries. Mm-hmm. She died in January of this year. Mm-hmm. She was like 46 or 42 or something. When I was like a little kid, like 6 or 7 or 8, I just remember the Cranberries they were probably the first band that I was able to like recognize upon hearing them and like that I actually liked, you know? And she wrote so many great songs, many of which were very like sad sort of songs. And I don't know, I kind of see her as like, I wouldn't say that she's like a musical genius, but she wrote a lot of great songs. She had a wonderful voice. And she wasn't afraid to, like, sing in her Irish accent, you know?
Yep.
And she broke the American market singing in her wonderful Irish accent. And I don't know, she's just very, like, motherly. And it was kind of like losing part of my childhood almost when she died. It was, like, so sad. I didn't expect it to be so sad because I hadn't thought of the Cranberries in a while. But I was like, oh, no, like, she died? Like, that's, like, so horrible, you know? Like, it was just... And actually, NPR did a Tiny Desk concert with them in 2012. And you can see the video, you go to Tiny Desk concerts, and they reposted it after she died. And it's really cute. They do 5 songs, all acoustic versions. And
I remember
really
that. I remember that.
I recommend watching that.
Yeah, it's a great one. Thank you so much, Winston, for sharing your story. Now let's go to Michael. Michael in Napa.
Yeah, hi. You know, for me, when I think about a singer, the one that affected me very much recently was the passing of Mary Travers of Peter, Paul, and Mary.
Yep.
You know, she really had no career after about 1970. So when she passed, even though she was well into her 70s, unlike, say, Aretha Franklin, who aged very gracefully before the public eye, Mary Travers, when she passed, it was as if a young person from the 60s had passed, because that's who she always really was, as far as anyone knew, you know?
Yeah.
And it was very, very sad for me. It was like, you know, all of us, she really, in so many ways, symbolized the 60s, and especially for young kids, you know, Puff the Magic Dragon and their other songs were so touching for us when we were kids.
Yep. Thank you so much for that, Michael. We have a tweet from Corinne. She says, David Bowie was the roughest celebrity death I've ever experienced. He represented so much to millions of people that you can be whoever you want to be, regardless of social norms. Let's take another caller. We have Chris from Santa Rosa. Hi, Chris.
Yes, hello. Thank you for taking my call.
Yes. Tell us your thoughts. Who's influenced you the most?
My thoughts are this media, pop culture is so blown out of proportion. I mean, holy cow. You know, somebody is honored for their stuff during their lifetime, and now they're dead and everything. Oh, my goodness. Maybe we should look at the media. Maybe we don't have Vladimir Putin to blame for Trump in the White House, but Norman Lear. We've got Archie Bunker in the White House.
Mm.
Isn't it cool? The number.
And what you're saying, Chris.
Archie Bunker's in the White
House. Yes, I understand what. I understand exactly what you're saying, the media's influence. On maybe how we're perceiving and how we're thinking about all of this, including celebrities' deaths. We have another call with us, Ruth Ann from El Cerrito. Ruth Ann, how are you?
Morning. I just wanted to comment on my reaction when Tom Petty died. I was, you know, really upset. I had listened to Tom Petty record albums like every day before work and all of that. And as an anecdote, I was talking to a colleague, and this was after Mayor Lee died, and I said, you know, I'm always upset when somebody dies, but to tell you the truth, I was more upset when Tom Petty died, which doesn't speak very highly of me, but it just speaks that I was really upset when Tom Petty died.
Absolutely, absolutely, and so many other folks were. We often think about Dr. Fulton. Yes, I was going to ask you, and this pushes actually us thinking about our own confrontation with mortality.
Absolutely. The celebrities of a certain level are the so-called immortals and actually, you know, called gods and goddesses. And for some people, when a celebrity dies, it is taken like a personal death. Because the person has been so much in their life, and they connect with them, just as your people calling in are talking about how much they connect them with personal biography, and how they feel like they know them, that when they die, especially in a time when funerals are disappearing and many people have never seen someone die, they haven't been to a funeral, mourning is considered negative, not very American. Then it gives them a way to kind of mourn at a distance, particularly through social media or through a phone call even like this.
Yeah.
They're very connected to ourselves. And something else I wanted to mention is your last caller was talking about basically consumer culture. And all of these deaths do become commodified. There's a very brisk, highly profitable trade in celebrity deaths. And they become big commercial enterprises, and there's a lot of money to be made from building, rethinking of, and tearing down legacies, and also connecting them to social policy. There have been a number of high-profile suicides among celebrities.
Right, like Andy
and Bourdain. Those become very much connected to agendas around mental illness and maybe prescription drug abuse and just suicide awareness. There is a whole commercial enterprise around public policy and also just the selling of celebrity biopics and talent and music.
Yes, yes. We have so many comments and folks who want to speak. We have Dennis who tweets, "My late wife and I used to listen to a lot of music and attend concerts. We saw Tom Petty and Fillmore and loved Aretha's music. These more recent artists' deaths bring back all of the wonderful times I had with my wife." And Tom writes, "I think that a principal reason we mourn the passing of celebrities, especially as we age, as you said, Dr. Fulton, is a reminder of our own mortality." Let's take a few more callers. We have Rachel in Pleasanton Hill. Hi, Rachel.
Hi there. I just couldn't let your show pass without mentioning Gwen Ifill.
Oh,
that
yeah.
was really hard. So anyway, I just want to put her name out there, and she meant a lot to me. So
why did she mean? Tell us why she meant so much to you.
You know, I think it's just a stable voice in your life, bringing you important news. Her form, her manner. I don't know what it is about her.
Yeah.
But, Judy, hang in there, please. And yeah, it's just a daily constant. Okay, it's 3 o'clock, at least here in California. And
yep.
I got to listen to Judy and
Judy
and
Woodruff, absolutely.
Yep. So that's it. I just wanted to mention that.
Yeah, yeah. There are those touchstones, too. Judy Woodruff of the PBS NewsHour, Gwen Ifill, used to host it before she passed away. And so it's also something that reminds us of our daily schedules. Every day at 3 o'clock, you can turn on the radio or turn on the television and hear and see this person. Absolutely. We have another comment. Lanny says, for me, it was Ayrton Senna and the Formula One driver. He was young and in his prime of his career. Then suddenly he was gone. And Dr. Fulton, you mentioned earlier about perhaps the differences in deaths. Aretha Franklin was older. She had suffered some health problems. And then there are those who are in the prime of their careers. And it hits us and it shows us as well another show of our mortality and how things can happen just in an instant.
Absolutely. Aretha Franklin's death is a shock because she's this large cultural icon and political force. But usually the deaths that hit us most in terms of celebrities and celebrity musicians or celebrity movie stars, whatever, are the ones that come unexpected. If Princess Diana died today with social media, imagine the eruption. Mm. If she died when she was 36 today. Mm-hmm. The ones that are unexpected, that are they're young, and particularly if they're young and beautiful, you know, George Michael, you know, whatever, or they were. Elvis Presley at his prime, you know, not as an older person. Not that he was old when he died at 42, but, you know, the image we have of him is as a young, sexy, beautiful man. And when they die, all kinds of eruptions of conspiracy theories even come forward as the cause of death is sought. You know, was it natural causes? Was it a murder? They get framed in all kinds of ways as we look for ways to explain why this person died.
I know, and reconcile. And so I'm an 80s kid. I do remember all through the 80s, all of these conspiracies. Every day you'd walk in the grocery store and there was there were magazines that basically said Elvis is still alive and living somewhere. We really just didn't want to believe it.
Those are still out there. Elvis is still alive, according to many people. And Marilyn Monroe was murdered, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Prince, you know, really didn't die of a drug overdose. Someone, you know, slipped him something. Those things are constantly out there, and they become consumer products, too. And they spread wildly through social media. You know, you don't have to just pick a phone call up. It just goes like wildfire, as I said.
Right. Thank you so much, Dr. Jacqueline Fulton. She studies sociology and she teaches sociology at National University. And thank you for all of the callers for calling in and sharing with us your stories and your thoughts about those celebrities that have touched you over the years. We'll be right back.